This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
If you're a tennis fan, you'll love Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the BetRivers Network. Whether you're a bettor or just love tennis, you'll enjoy the in-depth analysis each week of the tennis calendar. Subscribe to Game Bet Match today from your favorite podcast provider. It's the Mike Francesa Podcast on the BetRivers Network.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome to the Mike Francesa Podcast on what is a crazy busy week, of course, as we get ready for the NCAA tournament. Here in New York, the nature wanted to show us that they still have a little winter left for us today. It's a little chilly. Not exactly balmy weather as we get ready for the first day of spring that is upon us tomorrow. But, hey, you know what? It's coming soon. We know that. And the first harbinger of that is the fact that we are talking NCAA tournament. You know, there was a lot of grumbling. But let's be honest, I have always been one to get on a committee if I can. I can't get on a committee here. They got a ton of upsets, and they had to take teams out. That's all there is to it. You know, did St. John's belong in the bracket? Yes. Did Seton Hall belong in the bracket? Yes. Did Oklahoma belong in the bracket? Yes. Did Indiana State belong in the bracket? Yes. But you know what? They got knocked out by upsets. It happens. It happens. It would be better if, you know, St. John's is playing well at the end of the season. It would be better if they were in here. It'd be more exciting if they were in here. I agree. But you know what? What are you going to do? There's not anything the committee could do about it. They got five bracket beaters that just, you know, took at-large teams out of the tournament. You know, next year, be in the middle of the bracket. And you won't have to worry about it, you know. That's all I can tell you because, you know, when you're out there at the end, and listen, St. John's didn't play well enough all year to be an NCAA tournament team. There was a lot of the year where they weren't an NCAA tournament team. At the end of the season, they were, but it didn't happen. So here we are now, and looking at the bracket, the first thing I look at is, did they overload a region? I think they actually did. Did they make a region soft? I think they actually did. I think the West is soft. Maybe it's me and I just don't like the teams in the West. But I'll tell you something. If you had given me, now I'm telling you, I haven't made any secret of UConn. UConn's the best team in this tournament. They're better than the other one seeds. Why? Because there's nothing they can't do. I can look at Houston and say, hey, I don't know if Houston, when they get, now Houston's going to overpower first weekend opponents with their defense and with their athleticism and their rebounding and their fierceness. And they're going to be in a bad mood. And they're going to take it out on those teams. But when they get later in the tournament, there's going to come a game where they need to make a shot and you don't know where they're going to be able to make a shot. Same thing for Iowa State. Iowa State's a great defensive team. What they did to Houston set this whole thing up on its ear. That's why people are off Houston. They're off Houston because of the fact that they couldn't score against Iowa State. They had a bad game. Houston can look real bad sometimes, but Houston will play well in this tournament because they're tough. A lot of people thought Iowa State should have been the fourth one seed. Well, you know what? What they did that day was unbelievable. And when you look at it, if you would put Illinois, which is the 3 in the East, Auburn, which is the 4 in the East, or Iowa State, which is the 2 in the East, if you would put any one of them in the West, I would have picked them. That's how much I dislike the teams in the West. But I wouldn't pick any of them against UConn because UConn, as I said, doesn't have a weakness. When they have a healthy Klingon, which they have now, Caravan, Spencer, Newton, and Castle. Since they have gone to Castle, they are even a better team. That's a five that nobody can touch. That's five guys who all score in double figures, who can do pretty much everything. You got a rim protector there who can pass, who can score, who can rebound. Caravan's versatile as heck, inside, outside, shoots 40 from three and hits some daggers. Spencer, to me, not only is the, you know, he's not just the engine, he's the igniter because he plays so intensely. He's like the extension of Hurley on the court. But he also, to me, is the best open clutch shooter in America. He's 45 from three, and I would trust him with the game on the line every day and twice on Sunday. Newton does everything. 15 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists. I mean, does everything. And Castle is the best pro prospect of all of them. Got electrifying talent. They got guys off the bench who play roles. They got a real hard eight. They can run. They can play half court. They can play inside. They can play outside. They can play offense. They can play defense. That's why they're the best team. It's going to take a lot to beat them. Listen, Auburn won the SEC championship. Iowa State won the Big 10, 12 championship. Illinois won the Big Ten championship. They're all in the same bracket with UConn. That's a great bracket at the top. But I still think UConn comes out. I think they're that good. And I think that five, when they're on the floor, nobody can touch them. The other brackets are okay. I think the West is a little soft. I think the South is fine. I think the Midwest is fine. I think the West is soft. Because here's why. If there's a team that's just really good, I mean, good enough that has talent to win a championship, and Arizona definitely does. But they have lost to so many bad teams this year and played some games that are just hard to even digest that it's hard to trust them. I don't trust them. And, you know, I have a problem with them. I really do. I'll pick the Final Four tomorrow. I haven't done that yet, but I've got a lot of thoughts on a lot of different things today. Arizona is just really hard to trust. They come out of a soft league, and, you know, they lost some games that you just shake your head at. They really do. Purdue is not in any way an unbeatable team. They have vulnerabilities. I know that they want to prove something. So does Arizona, prove that they can go deep in the tournament. I understand that. You know what? I think Purdue has a pretty good run in them, but I don't think they're a championship team. Now, everybody got off the Tennessee bandwagon because of the Mississippi State game, and everybody got off the Houston bandwagon because of the Iowa State game. Don't get off a team's bandwagon for one game. But remember, and this is not meant to be disparaging, but I'm sorry, it's disparaging. Certain coaches just don't have great, you know, records or reputations in this tournament. And Tennessee's got one of those. He's a good program builder. He's a good guy. He's been around a long time. He's won a million games. His teams don't play well in the NCAA tournament. It's hard to go with Tennessee in that spot. And when you get to the NCAA tournament, it's hard enough to put together six games in this thing to go with teams that are hurting. So let the teams, as you fill out your bracket, let the teams that are hurting beat you. Let Kansas prove to you they're healthy and can beat you. I don't think they're healthy. Florida suffered a real big loss with the injury to their center. Marquette, even if Cola comes back now from the oblique, he hasn't played. They're not at full strength, and integrating him back into the lineup in an NCAA tournament is not easy when he's got the ball all the time. They just played a bunch of games where somebody else had the ball. Now he's got the ball. If he's back, he's got the ball all the time. And how healthy is he really? Let those teams. Marquette's a legitimately good team. I think they're just a cut below a championship team. I wouldn't put them in the group that could win a championship. I would put Creighton in that group, although Creighton is not as consistent as Marquette. Creighton could lose to a bad team. Marquette would never. But Creighton has the ability at three, a center who can play with anybody's bigs, and four guys who can score. And in this tournament, you want to rebound, you want to play good defense, but you have to have guys who can score. You can be fierce. You can be like Houston or Iowa State and intimidate the heck out of people early in the tournament with your defensive prowess. Just take them right out of the game and right off the floor. These teams won't know what hit them when they play those teams. They'll be like, oh, my God, we never played against a team like this in our lives. They contest every pass, every dribble, and they do. But later in the tournament, those teams have to score. They've got, in this tournament, you've got to be able to make shots. And with the college three the way it is, you've got to be able to honor the three. And that's why a team that has fast little guys that can make threes can be a pain in the neck. Welcome to McNeese. McNeese has been waiting for this all year. People have been talking about McNeese in college basketball all season. Now they're in that classic five, and they get a Gonzaga team that's played a lot better down the stretch. A lot of people are talking about Gonzaga not making a tournament this year. Gonzaga's a five seed. You saw them going to Kentucky and win. But Gonzaga is not great at handling those teams out on the perimeter that well. And they're not great from three. And this team can light it up and turn you over. They're going to be a problem. I could see McNeese winning a couple games. You know, there's always a 12-5. I mean, there always is. Of the 12-5s, I don't see UAB beating San Diego State. Grand Canyon has a great chance to beat St. Mary's, and I think I wouldn't even be surprised a little. Matter of fact, with the points, I would take Grand Canyon, and I wouldn't be surprised if they won the game outright at all. James Madison, same thing against Wisconsin. They could win that game. Wisconsin's weird. They could win that game. And McNeese can beat Gonzaga. So I think San Diego State's too rugged for UAB, but the other ones, I could see any one of them winning. And I think one of them will and two of them might. I mean, I think it could definitely happen. The strangest team, or the team that is the hardest to pin down in this tournament, without any question, is Kentucky. We all know Kentucky has talent. We all know that they're a wonderful offensive team. An exquisite offensive team. Best shooting three-point team in the country. Remember, a lot of years Calipari didn't have three-point shooters. He's got three-point shooters everywhere now. He's got young players, gifted young players, NBA young players, led by Reed Shepard, who's going to be a huge, huge star. Kentucky can be scary. They have, you know who they have kind of, they have kind of Fab Five talent to me, where they could get on that kind of run. They also could get beat the first weekend because, you know, they just don't play defense and they're very up and down. But what an incredible, okay? What an incredible amount of talent they have. I mean, it's a great bunch of players. It really is. I mean, Shepard, like I said, freshman of the year, going to be a huge star, okay? I mean, already is becoming a folk hero, no question about it. I mean, what he can do. But, you know, Reeves, Dillingham, I mean, Wagner, I mean, they just, they have so much ability, so much talent. I mean, they get in the open floor and they can just overwhelm you. And they might get in this tournament and go just get going in the first game, which is a nice matchup for them because Oakland, which is a good team, likes to play a lot of zone. And if you zone them, they're going to shoot you right out of the building. And they're going to shoot you out of the building anyway. You know that? They have an incredible amount of talent. And there's some pressure on Calipari. There always is pressure at Kentucky, let's be honest. But there's pressure of what's going on late. But this team could get on one of these crazy runs. And that's why they didn't play to a 3 seed this year, but they got slotted as a 3 seed. Why? Because they're Kentucky, and everyone knows how talented they are. And no one would be surprised if they got on a major run here. And I am part of that group. They are fascinating. Fascinating to watch. You know, for years, this tournament was about Duke. Duke with the Yankees. They've lost a little of that luster with Mike being gone. It's not exactly the same. It doesn't feel the same. They don't get treated the same. But they're still Duke. And when they play Friday night in Brooklyn, 7-10, you know they're still, I said, watch to see if they're still in that 7-10 slot. Are they in that 7-10 slot? Yep. On Saturday. On Friday. Are they in that spot? Yep. That's their spot. Most times, unless there's a team that has, you know, some major star or something else, the other team that's going to be in that, you know, slot very possibly is going to be, of course, Kentucky. Where are they? Thursday night, 7-10, right in that slot. National names, of course. Big names, big star value, big quality, same thing. Duke is going to have a huge crowd advantage. Vermont's a talented team. They get to the tournament every year. They're well-drilled. They play defense. They pass the ball great. They cut. They play basketball the right way. And they're a pain in the neck. But Duke's not a good matchup for them. And they're going to run into a Duke crowd. The crowd's not going to fall in love with Vermont as an underdog. This is going to be a Duke crowd on Friday night. The people who went there to root for Duke. They're going to buy tickets for Duke. And the bottom line is they want to see Duke play. UConn plays in the afternoon. All the UConn fans will be there in the afternoon. They'll go and leave. And the Duke people will come flocking in, and it'll be a Duke crowd on Friday night. And New York's a Duke city. I mean, let's be honest. Duke has cultivated a gazillion fans here through the years. When Duke played the Garden, it's like a home game. So that makes it even tougher there. I don't think Duke is a national championship team. I think they can obviously play up to their seed. I think they can win a couple of games. I don't think they're a team that's going to get a long, long run. Kentucky could get a long, long run. They're capable of that. You could be talking about Kentucky after the first weekend like, wow, how about Kentucky? Can you believe what we've seen from what a show they put on? They're that type of team. But while all year you heard about Purdue and their big man, and this was his year, and you heard a lot about Houston, and you heard a lot about Purdue, and rightly so. And you started to hear a lot again about UConn. And to me, it's not even close now. UConn is not only a team to beat, they are a cut above everybody in this tournament. That doesn't mean they win it. That doesn't mean, you know, doesn't mean that Auburn doesn't play a great game and pick them off in the Sweet 16. Or, you know, Iowa State doesn't pick them off in the field eight in a brutal, you know, 61-60 game. It could happen. But most likely it's not going to happen. Because they have more answers than everybody else. They have more talent than everybody else. And their five, when they take the floor, are the best five in the country. No one can duplicate it. Kentucky's got that kind of talent. Creighton actually puts a very interesting group on the floor. But they have some really serious vulnerabilities. They guard the three well. They don't defend well. But they guard the three well. They shoot the three great. They have some really unstoppable three shooters. When they're on their game and they're hitting their threes, you're dead. You're dead. You're going home. If Creighton comes out hot, you're going home. There's no way to defend them. They're going to beat you because they got four guys who can shoot it from anywhere. So when they come out hot, and that's why they laid a number on UConn the way they did. But you also then saw them come off that game and St. John's lay a number on them. By far, St. John's biggest win of the year. Matter of fact, the only team in the tournament that St. John's beat was that Sunday game against Creighton, which was coming off a number one win on Wednesday night against UConn, where they blistered UConn. Big East deserved more than three teams. We know that. It just didn't work out that way. There was nothing they could do. They were all lumped in after the three were gone. You know, you had a one seed, a two seed, and a three seed, and then you had a bunch of teams that were right there and with the last bunch in. Tough break for Seton Hall. Seton Hall, Villanova, Providence all went to the NIT. St. John's decided not to. I have no problem that they didn't decide not to go. But I'll tell you this. I like what they did with the NIT, with the changes they made. And I'll tell you this. The NIT field, and I watch NIT games. Anyone's a basketball fan still watches NIT games on the nights they're on. Not against the NCAA tournament, but the other games, absolutely. The NIT games are good. These are the best. I run down the NIT games. These are the best NIT games I've ever seen in the first round. Not even close. These are really, they got really good matchups. They got a bunch of good games. So the NIT did some good things for itself. They're trying to revitalize the tournament. I mean, the tournament's, you know, really hurt badly. Taking it out of New York was a good thing because New York didn't care about it. So they did some strong things there. And I tell you, there's some, you look at the Tuesday, Wednesday, NIT matchups, they're pretty good. I mean, they're very good for that. But we don't care about it. We're into the tournament. So we've talked about UConn. We've talked about Duke. We've talked about Kentucky. And how Kentucky is this team that you have to, you know, we talked about McNeese. And if I could talk about a player that I've waited all year for him to come back to the NCAA tournament, because he was already a darling of the tournament, and then he went and transferred. And I thought the year was really disappointing, but they're here in the tournament. And I think they bear watching. They're not a great team. But he could get on an incredible roll here in this tournament. And, you know, he won games by himself. He got help from a couple of guys on his interior, but he really put on a show. And I'm talking about Max Abmas, who is at Texas. He was at Oral Roberts. He's one of the highest scoring players in the history of the NCAA. He, this year, formed a 1-2 punch at Texas. And he's capable of going out and going into the NCAA tournament game getting 40. So was obviously Shannon for Illinois, who had 34, who had 40 in the semifinal and 34 in the final of the Big Ten. But I'm fascinated by Max and Texas and whether he can grab Texas and take them on a run through a couple of games in the Midwest. They're the 7 seed. They get the winner of Virginia, Colorado State. Then they get Tennessee on the weekend. Tennessee will beat St. Peter's. It's not a good matchup. St. Peter's can't score, and you don't want to play Tennessee if you can't score. But I'm watching Max. I've been waiting for Max. He was my favorite player, and he still is. Although there's a couple guys on Kentucky I love watching. And if you haven't yet grabbed hold of the saga of Reed Shepard, check it out. Because he's the new Rex Chapman. He is now the, you know, the undisputed darling of the bluegrass. No question about it. And a player who, you know, people are just absolutely in love with. Mr. Kentucky, McDonald's All-America, et cetera, et cetera. You know, hometown London, Kentucky. Major talent. And a team of incredible talent with some really exciting, you know, really exciting young players on the team. Now, they're not exactly Fab Five because they're not all babies. So it's not like they, you know, it's not like they don't have any, you know, guys who are upperclassmen. They do. But they are very heavily influenced by their kids, too, because of Shepard and because of Dillingham. You know, it makes them, you know, a team that is going to rely heavily, especially on those two guys this late in the season, and Wagner. So the bottom line is they just have incredible talent, end-to-end speed, can shoot the ball, go to the basket, but they don't play a lot of defense. As a matter of fact, they don't play very much. You're never going to call them a defensive team. They're going to win it. They're going to win it on the offensive end of the floor. That's all there is to it. So we got a couple games tonight, a couple games tomorrow. I've never been a big play-in guy. I don't love the games. I'd rather they didn't have them, but I understand why they do, but I don't love them. It's not like, oh, wow, they're really a great addition. I know. I don't need them. I'm willing to wait till Thursday at 12 and tip it off. But interestingly, except for one year, a team that won on Tuesday or Wednesday, every year except one of the teams has advanced past Thursday or Friday, has gotten to the weekend. So, and two of them have gotten to the Final Four. So teams have done okay coming out of that. Now, it's not the 16s that do it, obviously. It's the other teams that do it. It's not often the 16s. It's very rarely the 16s, as we know. But the others have had a good run, and they usually have used that as momentum. For them, it's a chance. You know, think about it. If you play a play-in game, it's a good deal. You got the whole nation watching you. You're on a national telecast with the whole nation watching you. And you get an NCAA tournament game under your belt, and you go. And it gives you some momentum. So from that standpoint, it has been a positive. As we said, we'll have the Final Four picks for you tomorrow. You know one of them's UConn right now. You know that. I'm picking UConn. I just don't see, even though I like team, I mean, I like Auburn. I like Illinois. I've liked them all year. I like Iowa State. I think Iowa State's a tremendous team. I thought so before they had this weekend. I thought they were really good anyway. But I just think the other team is better than everybody else and better than those teams. But I'm telling you, if you would put any one of those three teams in the West, I would have picked them. And one of the things you got to think about, at least I do as I wait to give you the Final Four pick tomorrow. What do I do with Kentucky? Because they fascinate me. Is it going to be a Kentucky team that you're shaking your head because they lost, you know, they got beat in the first round or the second round and, you know, stink the place up? Or is it a Kentucky team that you're saying by the weekend, wow, you know what? What firepower. What an exciting group of players that could really set the tournament on the on its ear. A lot of pressure on Arizona for past failings. A lot of pressure on Purdue for past failings. A lot of pressure. UConn looking to repeat, and the favorite going into the start of the festivities, and rightly so. They deserve that. They've earned that. They deserve that. They might come off a little cocky. Well, you know what? They know they're good. And you know what? They are good. And they're not afraid of facing any challenge. And they're going to get some challenges in the East because it's a very, very strong bracket. And we'll be with you so with the podcast this weekend, all weekend. We'll be up with preview stuff. We'll be up with review stuff. We'll be up after the games are played, give you an idea of what happened that day and everything else. So be looking for podcasts all weekend long. Download the Bet Rivers app. They'll all be there. And obviously, wherever you find your podcast, they'll be there too, distributed to all the main places and all the main platforms and everything else. So you can find the Mike Francesa podcast all there, courtesy of Bet Rivers, because it is their exclusive property. So games tonight, playing games. Bunch of NIT tonight if you're interested in that. We're inching closer in baseball. Yankee fans, you're disappointed. What happened with Snell? Well, I told you the Yankees didn't want to spend that money. They did not want to spend that money. Did not want to give him $30 million a year. How are they going to handle their pitching shorts? Well, we'll see. As we inch closer to opening day. We'll see you later.
Thanks for listening to the Mike Francesa podcast on the Bet Rivers Network.